like the idea of controlling their dreams, but actually the extent to which the dreamer can control his or her lucid dream is limited. It is particularly difficult to change the scene of a dream, and lucid dreamers have evolved a variety of techniques for doing this, such as covering their eyes and their hands in the dream, while willing the scene to change and spinning on the spot, also while willing the scene to change. One habitual lucid dreamer found it necessary to use a television set for this purpose, so he had to try to find a house in his dream in which there might be a television set, and if the dream provided one which was in working order, he would adjust the controls until the picture on the screen conformed to the place he wished to go to, and then he could step into the screen and make the required transition. Direct attempts to change the scenery may result in effects such as those in the following dream, in which the dreamer was on a tube train and wished to find himself in Kew Gardens.
At a time I was deeply interested in the study of dreams, I occasionally realised that I was dreaming and made attempts at dream control. The most successful experiment I can recall was in connection with a dream in which I was a traveller on the underground. I decided that the lighthouse at Kew Gardens looked better than my surroundings. For that reason, I concentrated on the idea of this. Gradually, the roof of the carriage began to assume a dome-like appearance and become semi-transparent. The hands of the unfortunate passengers began to sprout twigs and leaves, and the legs of some of them to resemble stems. However, I woke up before the dream could develop any further.
Lucid dreamers are sometimes successful in such enterprises as changing the colour of the sky or altering the season in the place in which they find themselves. Rather than influencing his dreams by making direct choices within them, the Marquis d'Hervé de Saint-Denis used techniques for producing selected people and circumstances. He went to considerable trouble to ensure the presence of two desired ladies that he knew in his dreams by waltzing with each lady to a certain specific tune at the dances he attended. Having provided himself with a musical box which played the relevant tunes and set it to play them while he was asleep, he then went to sleep with the musical box near him. This method apparently succeeded in evoking in his dreams the figure of the lady associated with the tune he had set his musical box to play. The Marquis is not very informative about whether the dreams were lucid at any stage, but he seems to have had a high opinion of lucid dreams as a way of experiencing whatever the heart could desire. Other subjects have also used lucid dreams as a way of having erotic experiences or varieties of such experiences which they would not have been able to have in waking life. The subject of the following account was an elderly gentleman, now deceased, who used lucid dreams to supplement his otherwise meagre love life. Although this account is written as if by a friend of his, he acknowledged that these experiences were his own.
Good-looking girls in his dreams and disrobing them. He reasoned that as they were merely the product of his own mind, no harm could be done. If this is not so nice, blame him, not me. Anyway, on the first occasion, he dreamed of a girl whom he knew and proceeded to undress her. Another girl, a very beautiful Camelot, voluntarily stripped and lay down. As the papers put it, intercourse took place and he woke up with an orgasm.
According to him and knowing him well, I believe him, the tactile thermal sensations were just as real in the sense of a complete duplication as the waking experiences would be. As far as I can remember, he had a few of these dreams, and then the superego seemed to intervene, and no more ladies enlivened his nights when he was aware that he was dreaming. Alas.